And Dave Schwartz joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Dave, I hope you had a good weekend. What did you do for the 4th of July? How was it?
It was good. You know, we did the Minnesota thing and went to a lake.
Nice.
We had to go to two lakes because we went out in the afternoon. And the first lake that we went to, there was nowhere to park. If anyone was on Lake Waconia this weekend, congratulations. We could not find a place to park, so we had to go to a second location, and we went to Lake Minnewashta, which was great. We hung out.
How were the fish? Fish bite?
How were the fish?
The fish?
We didn't fish that day. No, we just let the kids swim, and they jumped off the lily pad, and we had a great time. But we didn't fish much. We fished other days, but not on actual July 4th. We took the day off and just swam. It was too windy. It was crazy wind.
I was at Ludacris last night, A Taste of Minnesota.
Wow.
Yeah.
How was that, by the way? Can he still put on a show?
He does. He was very entertaining. And I will say, like, off the top of my head, I would have guessed that I knew about two or three Ludacris songs. And last night, it all came rushing back to me. Like the early 2000s, like, unbelievable.
Well, he doesn't have any new stuff.
No, I don't think so.
Playing the new stuff. At this point, he's playing the hits, and that's the jam, right? I mean, it was a more
innocent time when you could have a song called "I've Got Hoes" in different area codes, and it was fine. It was fine. Today there'd be like think pieces written about this, right?
It would be. I am. I don't know if I'm ashamed or not ashamed to say that I actually do know every word to that song, and every time my wife asks me about inevitably what's the area code for something. I launch into song. True. She's rolling her eyes, I'm sure. Yes, it's every time.
He adapted it with a 612, 651, and 763 reference, which I thought was was sort of stunning and very impressive to me. I was impressed.
He's a performer.
I mean, rough break for the 952, but, you know, you guys are used to that in that part of our metro.
We have Cisco, though. So, like, Cisco's on the west side.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's working on a remake of the thong song to get 952 in there.
I was loudly singing along with the song that I didn't know the title of it until I looked it up later. But it's there's a reference to licking from your head to your toes. And that was I'm like, oh, I know this whole song. And Alyssa next to me is like, what is happening here? I'm like, just the spirit of Ludacris kind of infested my soul. I couldn't help myself.
She's never been prouder to be married to you, I'm sure.
Oh, gosh. And part of me is thinking, like, other people at this show are like, is that Jason DeRusha yelling out, I want to lick you from your head?
And they're thinking how cool you are, and they're going to tune into the show today.
Yeah.
Just
CCOM, we are your leader.
You're going after the younger demo.
The Luda leader, for sure, is what we are.
Yeah.
Sadly, I did watch the Minnesota Twins kind of lose it in extra innings, which frankly, their play this weekend would not, losing that game would normally not be a concern, other than the fact that it's been such a tough first half of the season. They've got to be stripping this thing for parts, don't you think? I mean, I just don't see any other choice.
I mean, the rumors are out there. I've read them. I'm sure others have had about Byron Buxton and people. There's interest in him.
He's not going anywhere, though, right? Like, I don't think so.
I couldn't imagine that would be that's stripping the steering wheel away from the car. Just doesn't make any sense at this point. Of course, people are going to have interest in him. You know, again, it's still so they would be sellers, I think, at the deadline. If they certainly will be buyers at the point at the deadline if they want to. But overall, I mean, not knowing every contract situation on the team, you're going to look, of course. But there still is. And I mean, I don't think people really stop to think about how much is in flux though right now in this organization is the fact that they're still looking, you know, whether they're going to sell the team or not. They're still looking for their owners.
Right.
You know, and that does, when you get into these decisions that have to deal with money and, know, you kind of need to have that blessing to make any big move. So I would be very surprised if anything huge happens. But I'm sure if someone's calling, they are picking up the phone. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind. But when you look at the Central, though, I mean, even as bad as things have been, they're still only five games out of the AL Central lead. Detroit is only five games ahead of them. So it's still like we look at it and we think, oh, gosh, the season's been a complete wash. They're throwing them down sacrifice bunts to win games.
That was pretty cool. Come on, that was pretty cool. That was a neat moment.
It was amazing. Excuse me. They're 13 and a half games back. I was looking at the wild card number. They're in second. But 13 and a half games back.
Yeah, I mean, the Tigers are running away with it. But yes, we're still like within reach of a wild card spot.
Within reach of a wild card spot, which, so I don't know if you strip everything down or not, but, it's just been kind of this weird season. I mean, you look at the rest of the Central, they're not all that great either. I mean, this is basically like Detroit's just running away with this right now at this point in the season.
Yeah. All-star decisions are making news in Twin City sports. Buxton, the only all-star for the Twins, probably right when your record is 43-47. Although, Joe Ryan, far as a pitching performance, I would have liked to see Joe in the mix. He's had a great first half of the season.
I think his numbers deserve it, but I think you're 100% right that when you are four games below 500 on the season, it's almost impossible. We've seen it before where the Twins have had players who were definitely good enough, but they're way out. You're not going to see a team with three all-stars if you're below 500.
Yeah.
More than likely, though, at the end of the week, I'm sure Joe Ryan, maybe DeRyan's going to get added as injuries and those kind of things start to happen. My guess is Joe will find his way into the game somehow, but I do agree. I mean, his stuff has been consistently good most of the year. That hasn't been easy when you've been a Minnesota Twin this year to do something consistent. And so I think, you could make a real good case for what he's done to be an all-star right out of it. But my guess is he'll probably get added as some sort of replacement by the end of the week.
Lynx have sort of the Minnesota Lynx, I think, have a better case as far as complaining about their all-star selections. Now, baseball or basketball, rather, it's always strange. There are not that many people who make the all-star team. Still, the Minnesota Lynx are by far, their record is unreal. They're leading the WNBA. Mm-hmm. And to only have two players selected, Courtney Williams and Nafisa Collier, mm-hmm. Is this just the other coaches don't like the Lynx or don't like Cheryl Reeve? Because I think that's who picks in the WNBA. It's the coaches, right?
Yeah, that's a really good – I don't know, but you're right. As soon as you started saying that, I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, you could absolutely make a case for a number of different players. Kayla McBride could be one. I mean, there's certainly – when you're 17-2,
right. Come
to
on.
Only have two all-stars is pretty silly. And I don't know what the politics at play is. I know I would be surprised if anyone actually willingly wanted to go against Cheryl Reeve because she can be tough. So I can't imagine that, but it is a little surprising that when you're that good and that dominant, I mean, they're 17-2 and you mean to tell me only two of their starting five are all stars? Give me a break. And that's an absolute joke in my mind. And it doesn't help the league at all. When you do things like that, because they deserve to have more. And at that, at their record, you could put all of them in. The entire starting five
honestly,
for the all-star team could be the Minnesota Lynx.
Yeah, and I get, each team has to have a representative. And this will get even harder as the WNBA expands. But with the limited number of teams there are, I don't know, it seems preposterous to me.
Well, and what's interesting is that the Lynx, guess who else has two all-stars? The Washington Mystics, who are 8-10, that's ridiculous to me. That is just egregious to me that you would have the same amount of all-stars as a team that is two games below 500 when you're 17-2.
It's goofy. Dave Schwartz is with us. Dave, there another article I saw this weekend talking about what's going to happen with the Timberwolves and Lynx and where they'll play and what that is going to end up looking like. I think nobody really knows. I still will. The betting money for me is that it will stay in downtown Minneapolis. But from a real estate standpoint, I understand why some people are starting to think, I wonder if this goes out to the suburbs.
Well, the Vikings tried. You know, remember when they built U.S. Bank Stadium, they were very, very close to some land up in Ramsey County, and ultimately they ended up staying where they were.
Yeah, Arden because, Hills. I mean, downtown, yeah.
You want to, I mean, when you're a major team like that, you're in the city. I mean, that's what you want to be. You want the traffic. You want other places around. However, from an ownership standpoint, it always makes more sense, and it did. The Vikings did this in terms of their practice facility, of getting into areas where you can also develop the land around that, because that's where you make your money, not just on the stadium, but the hotels that are nearby and the parking that's nearby. And I mean, you look at what the Vikings have done out there with Vikings Lake and all the different streams of revenue that are coming in. I mean, that's kind of a great blueprint. So I still think I'm with you. I still think it feels weird not to have a Minnesota, Minneapolis team in the Twin Cities. But we've seen it before, and the Vikings were really close before they got their, you know, before they got what they wanted to be in downtown, and for whatever reason, it just didn't work out. So I wouldn't be surprised if they at least look before settling, if they do settle back in Minneapolis.
Sounds good. Dave Schwartz, appreciate you. Always enjoy chatting on Mondays. Thanks for being with us.
Next time, I would like you to give me the entire set list of Ludacris Breeze so I can hear exactly what songs you know and which one you don't.
That's fair. Next time, I'll do it, I promise. Back in just a minute here on Drive Time.